And I'm going to call to order the September action meeting of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. As is our custom, we will begin with a public comment, and I want to apologize to those who have traveled to the meeting in order to address the board. It's just been a very busy agenda here at Shenandoah University. Would anyone like to address the board? Yes, ma'am. Number one. And the gentleman next to you in the gold tie, number two. Gentleman in back with the red tie, number three. Please identify yourself for the board. We're all ears.
Yep. And I do have copies of my remarks for all of you. My name is Frances Metcalf. Excuse me. And I have lived in Northern Virginia for 23 years, since 1985. And I've watched our region grow, expand, and grow some more. I want to state that the topic that I am speaking about is the Fairfax County Parkway extension. And I also want to state for the record that I am not opposed to the Fairfax County Parkway extension. My neighbors and I have joined together as the Rolling Road Committee, and we have been studying this project intensely only since April. Clearly, there are many people who have been working on this for a much longer period of time. But one of my great concerns is that when we work on projects for a long period of time, we often lose sight of the forest for the trees. And in this instance, especially those on the engineering proving grounds of BRAC. Our group recognizes that DOD's movement of 8,500 people to the engineering proving grounds off of Rolling Road is inevitable. What I am standing here today is to suggest that the extension's design is seriously flawed, creating, to use VDOT's own words, dangerous intersections and unsafe conditions that potentially damage property and unnecessarily put human life at risk. I also want to state for the record that the proposed design changes, which stage the parkway's construction in four distinct sections, have never been subject to public scrutiny and comment. And finally, that the proposed design does not even attempt to consider the cumulative effects of relocating these 8,500 federal workers to the ETG and its neighborhoods, including my subdivision, Saratoga. Those 8,500 workers relocated from Reston, Bethesda, Maryland, and Chantilly will rely on surface transportation, essentially because the public transportation available is inadequate. And they'll be relying on their cars. So in Northern Virginia, they're probably going to be buying more cars and using more gas, which will bring an already overtaxed road network to the breaking point if the parkway extension is built in phases. On Monday night, we had a meeting with Fairfax County executives, some of our state delegates, members of VDOT, and the Federal Highway Transportation Board. As you all know, this is a very complex project. But there was general consensus at that meeting that phasing would be a nightmare. And we believe that the crux of the matter relies in what I call the law of unintended consequences. No one has studied, investigated, assessed, or can explain the impact of completing and building two or three phases of the project without completing the entire project. We who live in the construction zone are left to wonder how to cope with the traffic, the accidents, and the danger to our families and children without help from our government, whose main job is to defend the common good. We're turning to you, Mr. Chairman, and to members of this board for relief, hoping that you'll direct VDOT to temporarily put their plans on hold and assess the cumulative impacts of the parkway plus BRAC, As you know, the Fairfax County Parkway was designed before RAC and base realignment and closure. Then base realignment and closure was imposed. And one of the things that we have discovered is that the environmental assessments for BRAC don't go one inch off of federal property. They do not study the effect of the general neighborhood. The other thing that we know is that the environmental state impact statement for the Fairfax County Parkway was originally done in 1984. And while a few of the impacts were updated with additional data, most of them were not when the approved environmental assessment was made. We know that there are many changes in my neighborhood since 1984, including the construction of the Fairfax County Parkway itself, which has totally changed the socioeconomic climate of this neighborhood. We would like this board to order VDOT to study the impact of saving, to hold new public meetings to allow comment on these findings, to redesign the project as required, and then proceed. Quite frankly, if we're going to do half a project, let's find out what that means before we start. The analogy that I'd like to make about this is building half a bridge over the Rappahannock and then expecting it to get us over the river. Alternatively, we ask that you, the board, find the funds necessary to build the entire parkway, eliminating the need to delay the project. Despite the grave current financial situation in the Commonwealth, we are asking you to fund this project in its entirety and allow Fairfax County the opportunity to provide the significant additional income that it can for the good of the entire Commonwealth. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McKee.
I would note for the board members at your places there are about five individual pieces of correspondence also relating to this.
And I have another one someone asked me to bring.
Okay.
And I have copies of my comments if anyone would like.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker. Yes, sir.
Good morning. Secretary Homer, Director Tucker, members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. My name is Daniel Polgar. I'm Executive Director of Virginians for High Speed Rail, the largest pro-rail organization in the Commonwealth of Virginia. I'd like to begin by congratulating Director Tucker and his staff at the Department of Rail and Public Transportation for compiling and creating the first statewide rail plan in many years. All of you should have received a copy of our official response, along with those of the other pro-rail advocacy groups here in the Commonwealth. While the draft statewide rail plan is a great first step, we believe that it needs a stronger long-term vision for rail of where Virginia should be in 2035. It should include a link of how best to link Southampton Roads to Richmond with passenger transportation, passenger rail, and create a public benefit model that clearly shows what we are getting for our tax dollars. Virginia is at a crossroad. As energy prices continue to spike and our budget deficit continues to get larger, we need to make intelligent investments. Obviously, I believe that rail is an intelligent investment. Congress is beginning to take the lead on the rail issue. Voting by overwhelming majorities to reauthorize Amtrak on a multi-year cycle and to authorize $1.5 to $2.5 billion for investment in our passenger rail corridors. Al Scamont, President and CEO of Amtrak, has stated multiple times, including recently in front of the House of Representatives Subcommittee on Rail, that the Washington to Richmond corridor is the first corridor in need of these valuable investments. Virginia needs to prepare to take advantage of these resources when they become available. We need a mechanism to fund the Amtrak recommended service, state-sponsored service, on the Newport News to Washington corridor and the Lynchburg to Washington corridor. The annual investment would be needed to partner with Amtrak for inner-city service are very small compared to the nearly $247 million allocated for the rail capital investment in the REF six-year rail improvement program. The traveling public is denied benefit of its improvements, of its investments, when the state fails to provide the relatively small cost of expanding passenger rail service while at the same time investing large sums of money on infrastructure projects that are designated for passenger projects. We urge you to work together with the members of the General Assembly to find a dedicated, sustainable revenue source to fund these operational costs of expanded passenger rail service here in the Commonwealth. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Plogger. Our next speaker, Mr. Bob Chase, with the Virginia Transportation Alliance. Welcome, Mr. Chase.
Morning. Given all the sobering information we've gotten in the last couple of days, I'm almost reluctant to suggest another subject that you need to think about, but nonetheless, I will move forward. In some respects, declining funds makes it more important than ever to focus the resources that we have, present and future, on things that matter most. And I think one of the interesting and perhaps alarming things that we have in the Commonwealth is the fact that the operator of the nation's third largest highway network has no short list of the most important performance-based priorities, nor does the Commonwealth's Northern Virginia economic engine. Only Hampton Roads has mustered the political will to identify core improvements most critical to its future prosperity and quality of life. Yes, the Commonwealth has documents entitled Strategic Transportation Plan, Six-Year Program, V-Trans 2025, and soon V-Trans 2035, but each has pages and pages of projects without really clear performance-based prioritization or distinction. While not being critical of the process, V-Trans 2025's breadth and complexity are mind-spinning. There are system inventories, vision validation, socioeconomic and demographic trend analysis, system preservation, safety, corridor deficiencies, and inter- and intra-corridor movement strategies, not to mention numerous stakeholder meetings and other portions. But again, there's no short list of most important strategic priorities. Instead of becoming more focused, transportation planning is becoming more diluted. Rather than identifying improvements that matter most, the process is being watered down by seemingly trying to identify unlimited choices and options. In striving to identify the most choices and options, it fails to target those that most people will actually use and benefit from. All women and men are created equal. The same is not true of every transportation option or choice. The Commonwealth needs a process focused on select projects of greatest statewide significance, not just existing corridors, but new corridors. The Commonwealth did this in the past. It needs to do so again. There's an important difference between stakeholders and transportation professionals. Stakeholders have agendas to advance and defend. Transportation professionals are trained to sort out wants and wishes from fundamental needs. What's needed is a professional approach staffed by transportation professionals with a mandate to put politics aside and identify a modally neutral short list of projects that will create a framework our economy and people need. Once that is developed, we need to then identify and establish dedicated funding sources. Assembling and charging transportation professionals with this mission free of political constraints could produce a relatively short list of such projects in a relatively short period of time. This is not to say that 10, 12, or another finite number of projects are the only transportation improvements needed. However, the funding and completion of these projects in the next 15 to 20 years should be assigned a highest state priority and be the basis of that the state's commitment and progress on transportation is measured. Time is not on the Commonwealth side. The sooner it focuses on strategic components, the greater the chances are that it can have and afford the transportation network that it needs. Developing such a plan wouldn't take a lot of time or a lot of money, just a lot of political will. Thank you very much, and I would just say in terms of the Fairfax County Parkway, this has been a long-standing alliance priority. We would urge you to move forward as quickly as possible. We all know that the longer we wait, the more things cost, and our concern would be that if we continue to study and reevaluate, we've been chasing the cost of this final link of the parkway forever, and every single delay, every time we delay, we get ready to go, and the next week find out the price has gone up by 50%, and then we have to wait to get the money. So I think we need to move forward and get what we can done as soon as possible and in the best way possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Chase. Anybody else wish to address the board? If not, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item one is there are two separate items on the recreational access program, 1A in Fauquier County. Mr. Schwartz, I guess, has departed. Is there a motion?
Come in.
Approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 1B is in the town of Shenandoah.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 2, a revenue sharing transfers 2A is in the city of Colonial Heights. Mr. McCarthy is gone.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And action item 2B in Custer County.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 3 are rights of way. Mr. Walton will be here to answer any questions. Action item 3A relates to Route 637 in Loudoun County. Are there any questions with Mr. Walton? Is there a motion?
I move it to approval, Mr.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 3B is in Bedford County, Route 122 and 608. Are there any questions with Mr. Walton?
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 3C is Route 288 in the Richmond area. Are there any questions of Mr. Walton?
Mr. Chairman, move the approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And action item 3D is Route 460, Route 100 and 1209 in Dobbs County in the town of Harrisburg. Are there any questions of Mr. Walton? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 4 is the action item on the extension of the Martin Luther King Freeway extension. Are there any additional questions, Mr. Walton? You did have this workshop presentation earlier.
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The programming division, and Ms. Mitchell is here to answer any questions. Action item 5 are the program transfers. Are there any questions of Ms. Mitchell? Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 6 is action on utilization of available federal funds and obligation authority. Ms. Mitchell, can you give us a brief overview of this action item?
Yes, this is an annual resolution we come to you with for what is called the bonus obligation authority or August redistribution of federal funds. I'm sorry.
I thought there wasn't any.
Well, there's no cash. There's obligation authority. Virginia, we got the notice late Tuesday, and Virginia has received just under $32 million of bonus obligation authority.
Okay, now, everyone understands this is not real money. This is the Federal Highway Administration saying you're allowed to spend more of your own, in essence. And we may seek reimbursement on a schedule yet to be announced by the Federal Highway Administration. So it's kind of an interesting sequence of 10 days ago announcing zero money in the trust fund and today saying there's $30 million more. But this is not bad news and may one day turn out to be good news, only time will tell.
I move approval of the message that we can spend our own money.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
But to clarify, that's no new money that we have to allocate to ongoing projects.
That is correct. It may accelerate existing projects. It may allow projects to start earlier. It is a reflection of prudent project development of the Commonwealth and its ability to, if those federal funds are available, and there's going to have to be some additional due diligence, I believe, before we lay out those additional expenditures. But I think it's a reflection of excellent staff work and our ability to maximize federal dollars to the extent they're still there. Okay, the DRPC, there are two items, 7A, the cycle systems. Mr. Kevin Page is here just to give a very brief overview of the cycle systems, and then action item 8 is one we do want to spend a little bit of time explain where are some significant actions contained within action item eight.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Cycle Systems was a briefing workshop item at our last meeting before the Commonwealth Transportation Board. Cycle Systems Incorporated is requesting $109,000 of Rail Industrial Access Sidetrack funds to help construct a facility, a rail facility, going into one of their recycling plants that they're establishing in the city of Stanton. This is very good for the community and also good for the Commonwealth because the trucks that are currently moving those scrap materials to the Roanoke and Lynchburg facilities from that area will now be shipped by rail. In addition to that, it adds to fuel efficiency because we can get four truckloads of scrap for every rail car. So that also assists in keeping the waste stream and renewal stream back to the domestic workplace through recycling. Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to answer any questions at this time, but this has been briefed to the board at the previous meeting.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Action item eight is the Rail Enhancement Fund six-year program recommendations, and I don't believe there's a lot new in here. Most of these have been previously approved as part of the six-year program, but there have been some substantive decisions, notably with respect to the intermodal facility location at Elliston, a separate road relocation as a consequence of that decision, a number of other refinements, particularly in the port rail connections area, and Mr. Page is going to walk us through that very quickly.
Yes, sir. Very briefly, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Board, I'll refer to page 3 of the resolution. It's probably the best at a glance that I can provide to you today. The Chairman mentioned, we have incorporated all of these projects through the draft six-year improvement program. In May of this year, the Rail Advisory Board passed recommendation. Board Member Keene represents the CTB on that board. It was approved and recommended these projects were by the Rail Advisory Board. And as we move forward with the 2009 recommended CTB allocations, these projects are not new to the CTB because they saw these in the six-year program draft. In addition to that, under the 2009 allocations, the NIT Central Rail Yard expansion is an engineering design project only as respect to the action today, as well as the Norfolk Portsmouth Beltline improvements are also a rail preliminary engineering and design only grant project. In addition to that, Mr. Chairman, as you mentioned earlier, there has been a decision made on the selection of the site for the Heartland Quarter Intermodal Facility. This board may recall that under the Heartland Quarter project, the facility site evaluation was underway during the draft six-year improvement program. And we have come to closure as a Commonwealth, and given Norfolk Southern under the previous grant agreement that's underway today, notice to proceed on the final design and cost escalation and development of that facility and get the schedule and program and budget back to us. In addition to that, Norfolk Southern submitted a separate application, which is noted here on this form as well, for the relocation of Cove Hollow Road, which is a secondary road that needs to be relocated as part of this project. This project will be handled in a separate manner, and through this board action will be under a separate amendment agreement to the Harlan Quarter. Mr. Secretary, I'll turn the floor back over to you and entertain any questions that the board may have at this time.
Before I ask if there are questions, I want to ask Mr. Keene, who is our representative and spokesman on the Rail Advisory Board, did you have any additional comments or message that you want to bring back to the CTB from the Rail Advisory Board?
That's a difficult thing to try to summarize the comments that they have and advice they can give sometimes, a lot of which I don't necessarily agree with in many cases, but at any rate, they are the one that gives very in-depth scrutiny of all the proposals that come before them, and then in turn will give the scrutiny public attention as well. So certainly we're fortunate that we've got this type of an investment that we can make on an infrastructure that can solve so many of our problems in terms of even the economy of the state of Virginia, in terms of the port traffic. And we're talking about picking up trucks driving all the way to the port, Seaport now, picking up containers when they could be picking them up in Roanoke and stay on 77 and not have a very little distance on 81 and other routes that will be coming to play there. So as a part of this enhancements that we're going to be making, it's also enhancing our ability to be mobile on our highways throughout the state of Virginia, and increases revenue as well. So I think there's a public benefit that's tied with each of these projects that we will realize, and the public in general will realize a benefit from all that's been doing, or we've been doing on the rail side. Even when we get into the passenger side of it, it's certainly I'm involved in a lot of freight, and we ship a lot of coal out of the Southwest, but, you know, there's other things, and I know Norfolk is interested in our coal coming to them, but there's a major improvement here in terms of double stacking and things like that that's going to be accomplished as a result of the Rail Enhancement Fund investments we're making in the state of Virginia. So I can report that to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. King. Questions, Mr. Page or Mr. King?
I move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item is under Administrative Services Division, and Mr. Campbell here? There you are, I'm sorry. And this is the land disposition in the West Point area. Is this land surplus as a consequence of the area headquarters downsizing? And if you could explain the nature of the transaction and the consideration for that, please.
As you've mentioned, it's the West Point, what we call the West Point Sub-Area Headquarters. It's approximately a 3.81-acre site. It's been vacated by VDOT last March. It's located at 3620 King William Avenue in the town of West Point. VDOT does not have plans for any further future use of the facility. By law, we are asking the board to approve the designation of this property as surplus and also to approve the conveyance of the property. The town of West Point has already contacted us about a year ago, indicating their interest in the property, and they have need to relocate their public works operation, and they would use this site for that. And it would be our intention to offer the property to them. We coordinated through the Department of Real Estate Services, Department of General Services handles the sales force, and it would be most likely a fair market transaction unless the governor approves something different.
So this is not a transfer. This is a sale at a predetermined fair market value to the town of West Point.
Mr. Chairman, move approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Okay, the Northern Virginia District, we have two items relating to the Federal Highway Administration and BRAC. And welcome, this is Tom Carney, who's the statewide BRAC coordinator. Ms. Carney, if you could give us kind of a little bit of history and overview. I know there's a lot of citizen interest in this, but the Fairfax County Parkway, as one of the speakers indicated, dates back a couple of decades, and the BRAC designation of environmental proving grounds was kind of unexpected, and so there's a lot of history here, a great deal of complexity, I think, would help board members, particularly from other districts, to understand.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Fairfax County Parkway project and the engineering proving grounds and these DAR ramps have a long history, especially the Fairfax County Parkway. It dates back to the 1970s. In 1984, the first environmental impact statement was performed by VDOT. Back then, it was called the Springfield Bypass. After the 84 record of decision was published, about 33 of the 35-mile corridor has been constructed to date. The final 2 miles, most of that roadway goes through the engineering proving grounds. In 2003, VDOT did an environmental assessment to reconfirm the results of the 1984 EIS. Public hearings were held in October and December of that year. And in 2004, we had the support of the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors and the Commonwealth Transportation Board on the location and design of that project. Later that year, we issued what we call a request for qualifications to see if the industry was interested in providing a procurement process or following a procurement process for a design-build project on the Fairfax County Parkway. However, in 2005, petroleum contamination was found on EPG, and we had to put the procurement process on hold. In that same year, Congress and the President approved the Base Realignment and Closure Act, and it required Fort Belvoir to house 22,000 additional employees at the installation, part of which is the engineering improvement grounds. In 2006, Fort Belvoir published their first environmental document. They called it a siting analysis. And of the 22,000 people that were to relocate to Fort Belvoir, 18,000 people were to go to EPG. EPG is an area of Fort Belvoir that has very poor access, and really the only major access it would have had, or what does have, is the future Fairfax County Parkway. That same year, we canceled the design-build procurement process because the Army had made no progress in cleaning up the right-of-way, and we began negotiating a memorandum of agreement with the Army and FHWA to try to move the Parkway project forward. In 2007, Fort Belvoir published their final environmental impact statement and their record of decision. Luckily, they agreed to only locate 8,500 people at EPG. That will be the employees of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, a very high-profile Department of Defense agency. And they deferred a decision on 6,400 employees of the Washington Headquarters Services. The decision on where those employees will go will most likely come out by the end of this month or early next month. The Army broke ground on the first building at EPG in the fall of 2007, even before we had a memorandum of agreement signed with the Army and FHWA. They told us that they, according to the BRAC law, they had to have the buildings in place and the employees located by September 2011. Any delay in starting the buildings, they would not meet the BRAC law. So they began construction of those buildings prior to the MOA being signed on the Parkway. In December of last year, the CTB authorized the commissioner to sign an agreement with the Army and FHWA, where FHWA is going to administer the Parkway project. The Army will provide clean right-of-way through EPG, and VDOT would provide the funding to build the Parkway. However, since 2004, when VDOT was going to do a design-build project, the cost estimate on the Parkway has doubled from around $89 million to over $180 million. We did not have the funding to build the entire Parkway, so the decision was made to phase it. We're building two phases. The project was broken into four phases. We're building two phases. One is the mainline connections on either end of EPG, and the other is the interchange that will connect Rolling Road and provide access to the engineering proving grounds. FHWA has solicited bids on the design build contract, and later on today you will be asked to recommend award on that contract that FHWA is bringing forth. In terms of the DAR agreement, that is the agenda item number 10, the resolution that you're being asked to approve today would authorize the commissioner to enter into an agreement with FHWA and the Army to build ramps that provide direct access into EPG. And again, this is to support the 8,500 employees of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. The ramps are 100% funded by the Army. FHWA, is administering the project, and VDOT's role is to approve the final design plans, acquire right-of-way using Army money, and to accept the ramps for maintenance. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Like to echo what Mr. Farney has said, this has been a lot of work that has gone into this by VDOT and others. The federal law has imposed that this will happen. 8,500 people will be arriving on the EPG, and they will be there by 2011 by federal law. The governor, his predecessor, Pierce, the federal delegation, all fought the way that this was necessarily being imposed by that law. But the law still stands. There's the way the BRAC law and the BRAC process is structured, that makes it very difficult. So the 8,500 personnel will be arriving. If we do not build the Fairfax County, if we don't build this parkway, this extension, I assume they will just be parking their cars on 95. I mean, that's essentially the only alternative. This has to happen. It's just a fact of what is going to take place. And like with the Army, where they started the buildings in order to comply with law, we need to move forward on this particular project in order to meet the time frames that are going to get those cars onto the EPG rather than caught up trying to access it through what would be secondary roads at best. So I want to urge my colleagues to vote for this. I know it's not what everybody would like to see, and I know it's not what a lot of the residents would like to see, but this is not something where there's options.
Ms. Coolman.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move approval, and if we get a second, speak to that motion.
I'll second.
The expression of concerns that you have before you are legitimate. They're real. They come from people who are facing a difficult situation. Part of the problem has been this process is complex. It has not involved the normal approvals of Fairfax County, for example, which has not been a party to many of the discussions with the Army and vice versa. But I think the question really before us is whether we let these, we understand the impacts properly. The impacts are actually caused by the BRAC movement of the 8,500 people, not by the Fairfax County Parkway project itself, which, as we've learned, has a history of its own. The BRAC process will not be delayed. Therefore, we face the prospect of our inaction contributing to much worse outcome. And nobody really is happy with the way the process has unfolded piece by piece. What I'm going to suggest is that we need to not let the whole be the enemy of these first two phases. At the same time that we instruct or expect from BDOT as our representatives to almost seek continuous feedback from those that are most directly affected. Fort Belvoir, for example, and BDOT have both had very strong outreach programs that include not just solicitation of input, which you might expect, but now are giving regular progress reports. Fort Belvoir informs us by email on their list, for example, if they're going to detonate ordnance that they've uncovered as a part of it. That's the real-time sharing of information that we need to continue, regardless of this approval process. But with our revenue forecast as deteriorating and sluggish in the future and so forth, there's not anything really to be gained by delaying, although I understand that that's a natural tendency. So the reason I hope that we will approve this today is that we can move this forward. By moving it forward, we actually make more likely the execution of phases 3 and 4, which we know are needed, and which actually aren't already going forward because we simply haven't been able to identify the money for them yet. The additional thing we'll get in the meantime is the real-world input. As we approach the date when the workers actually get there, we'll have a much better understanding of what other parts of the system we will have or won't have and how to make that work. So I appreciate the thoroughness, Tom, with which you've proceeded. I appreciate very much my neighbors, because I live in this area of Fairfax County, and it affects not just the EPG, it affects actually almost 500,000 people who live in the southern part, and another 500,000 who travel through that part, you know, every few days. So this is a big deal, no doubt about it, and we need to be careful to keep it on track, even as we might demand an inclusive, informative, communicative process.
Any other comments or questions? I would just add, the original proposal was to put 18,500 jobs on this site. And to remind this body, that's just a little bit less than the Pentagon on a site that has no highway access, no Metro Rail, no VRE, no bus service. I mean, think about what the Pentagon has with HOV lanes, a metro stop, three primary highways, and trying to put 18,500 jobs. And so one of the things that we have worked very hard on, and I would say successfully, and you know, the efforts of Mr. Farney and Mr. Sterling in that regard have been stellar, our congressional delegation as well. It's kind of like a rezoning process. We had a little bit of leverage, and we're able to use that to reduce the density on the site to, certainly it's not perfect, but I can tell you that 18,500 jobs on that site with one highway entrance into it maybe would have been disastrous and represented the collapse of both I-95 and Route 1 in Northern Virginia, as well as the Fairfax County Parkway and the surrounding neighborhoods. So if there is a silver lining in this cloud, and all of us recognize there are some issues, we should go back a year or so and realize that we really did avert the disaster. We have before us a problem that is potentially solvable if there are additional resources. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to further add, and not just in that immediate area. I know Mr. Goulamay indicated the 500,000 you talk about, the proximity and what would happen to 95 there. But in reality, if these folks can't get off the freeway and onto EPG, it will quite literally collapse 95, maybe down as far as Massaponics. I mean, this is a significant problem, is getting them on, and we've got to do what we can to eliminate a, I wouldn't call this a bottleneck now because there's nothing to go through, and it'll be a bottleneck once it's constructed, but at least things will go through it.
There's a motion and a second on action item 10. All in favor?
Aye.
Action item 11.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Describe that.
Item 11 is to authorize the commissioner to enter into an amendment to the Fairfax County Parkway Memorandum of Agreement that the CCB approved back in December of 2007. As part of that agreement, VDOT was to front to Federal Highway all the federal funds allocated for the project. We then would reimburse FHWA for actual expenditures using state funds allocated to the project, and a large majority of this project is funded with state allocations. Recently, FHWA informed us that all project funds, including the state funds, must be provided to them before they could award the design-build contract. Ms. Busher and her staff have worked with Federal Highway staff and have come up with a plan where we are actually loaning FHWA federal allocations, and then to cover the state portion of the project.
You've gotten $30 million. We got
you. Yes. Loaning federal agency, federal money. And then as the work is performed, we will supply the state funds, and those federal allocations will come back to VDOT. The funding plan that's been arranged, Ms. Busher and her staff are here to answer any questions if you may have them.
Any questions? If I get this right,
I move.
Smoking
years ago, we were bankrupt. Then we got $30 million. Now they're. And if I could, for those in the audience, one of the principles of capital budgeting is stable, reliable, predictable funding. And what we are wrestling with is the consequence of unpredictable, unreliable funding. You cannot finance and commit dollars for a major public works project, whether it's a highway or water or sewer or a public facility building, unless you can rely on the fact and the commitment that the money's there. And so our world is changing very, very dramatically, and it is increasingly difficult for us to say whether a project will be built, at what cost, and on whose nickel. It's just a very difficult set of circumstances. So is there a motion and a second?
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Okay.
Action item 12 is the action on bids received. Mr. Farley is here standing in ably for Mr. Coburn.
What's our other number?
We're going to start on page 4 or page 1.
Page 1, sir.
We've got to go to Mr. Colbert would like to be here as a former district construction engineer, but he's in Hawaii visiting his son, who's in the Navy. So he sends his regards. Page number one.
Hold on, we're going to start with page one, which is a white page.
White sheet. Page number
in
one.
In Smythe County.
Route 11.
Smith County.
This is a, well, one thing I want to show, if you look at the first three, we had 7 bidders, 9 bidders, and 11 bidders. So we are having competition out there in the number of people bidding on our projects. First County, Smith County, is on Route 11. Basically, this is a replacement of a bridge. It's a deficient bridge listed both. It's listed as structurally deficient, but it is both structurally deficient and functionally obsolete. It has a rating of 7.7, and I recommend your approval.
Move the approval. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
On page number two, the top one is the Centerville Road, and this project will fill in a section between the northern and southern approaches, which will make the cross-section on Centerville Road consistent in that area, and I recommend its approval.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend its approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. The second item on page two is in Fauquier County, and the purpose of this is to reconstruct a little bit more than 3/4 of a mile of Dumfries Road by widening the existing pavement. There is a bridge on there that will be replaced with a 12-by-8-foot box culvert. The bridge is structurally deficient, 41.6, and I recommend its approval.
Move approval.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
On page three, this is a pavement marking. It's a safety-related item in the Fairfax County, and I recommend its approval.
I move its approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Okay, we should be going to a pink sheet of paper now. And the
careful.
The first item on page four, we're going to defer that particular project until next month. We're still working with the contractors on some DBE requirement on that. So that item, I am asking, I'm going to defer that.
Page five.
On page five, top project, this is a City of Virginia Beach project. It's a local administered project. And the purpose of this project is to provide real-time video surveillance for the city's traffic ways and for the city's emergency management operations. We had 7 bidders on this particular project, and I recommend its award.
Move approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next project on page six is the Fairfax County Parkway project. That Tom just discussed with you, and I'm recommending its award.
I recommend its award, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And the final one is a Loudoun County, it's Leesburg Park and Ride facility, and it will construct approximately 13 acres of county-owned park and ride facility, and I recommend its award. We had 9 bidders on that particular project.
With an expression of the great excitement that Loudoun County views this particular project as a big move forward, Mr. Chairman, I move its approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, back to the section on
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Under new business, I know Mr. Tucker has an item. Anybody else have anything they want to bring up under new business? Mr. Tucker.
I promise to be speedy. Carol is handing out a resolution that I want to ask you to approve. Next week is essentially the holiday week for public transportation. Next week begins the week of Tri-Transit Week. And we're asking the board to adopt a resolution in support of Tri-Transit Week. DRPT has developed a website, www.tritransitweek.com, for people to pledge to take transit trips during the course of Tri-Transit Week. What's important for you all to sort of note is, it sort of got lost in the shuffle yesterday, that we provided for you a monthly report of transit ridership in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And what this monthly report shows you is that transit ridership...
This is at your places, by the way.
Increased by 11% month over month. That's really significant, and we're seeing a lot of people taking transit. I think the other point that I would note is a pie chart that tells a really big message in terms of transit ridership throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia, that about 76% of all of our transit trips take place in the Northern Virginia region. Very, very significant. So as we move into Tri-Transit Week next week, I would ask you all to visit the website and pledge to take a transit trip and encourage others around you to take a transit trip as well. What I think is encouraging is the fact that we're seeing the significant growth in transit ridership. But at the same time, the doom and gloom of what we heard today is going to also impact our ability to maintain transit service on the street. As I tell the people in the transit industry, we're in the best and the worst of times. We're in the best of times because everyone now sees public transportation as a more viable option. We're at the worst of times because fiscally it's going to be tough for us to keep out on the street what we have out there today. Thanks a lot, and I ask you to turn it back to you, Chair, for action.
Are you requesting a resolution out of the board?
There is a resolution that Carol has handed out.
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of this resolution.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. I just call your attention to actually three other items at your places. Some of these were scheduled to be agenda items, but just in the interest of time, we didn't put them on. But you have, I know for Mr. Sterling, has particular interest, a memo regarding the Urban Transportation Service District. If you'd like, it looks like staff would be the loss leader in that regard. We'd welcome a conversation or agenda item and be guided by your input on that. Secondly, there is the detailed description of the secondary street requirements. And, you know, this regulatory process is stretched out over such a period of time. It's probably a good idea. I think many of the issues, certainly not all, but many have been addressed through some fairly significant changes in here. And so I would encourage all to read those. And the last, of course, is the commissioner's update on projects and other issues within VDOT. You know, we take for granted the fact that, you know, it used to be what percentage of our projects are on time and which are on budget, but the measure in here now is what percentage of projects are on time and on budget. And those of you who were here on the board back in 2002 remember some pretty dark times. And to me, this is kind of bureaucratic, but what this is doing is VDOT setting yet again a higher standard for itself in terms of performance. We used to look at on time as one measure and on budget as another. Now it's a combined measure that the commissioner is asking of his team, and that's a very significant step forward. Any other new business?
One additional comment, Mr. Chairman. A small group of executives and I had the opportunity to sit down with U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters last week to discuss primarily whether there was a greater opportunity for private investment in transportation infrastructure and so forth. Without going into detail, she shared with us their new report, Refocus, Reform, Renew, a new transportation report for America.